Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Hello again, it's Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks to make these race cars go around in circles and go left and right when we need to go left and right, which is coming up this weekend. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for the Motor Racing Network, joined as I am each and every week by 25-time race-winning crew chief from the Cup Series, championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd, how are you?
I'm good. A weekend of Atlanta behind us.
Yes, exactly. Good stuff down at Atlanta Motor Speedway. We'll talk about that a little bit, and we're going to talk to Travis Mack. Talking a lot of COTA stuff coming into that. There's a lot going on there, and they had such a strong car at COTA last year. Their teammate won the race. Travis is crew chief for Daniel Suarez. So look forward to talking to Travis. Going to be good stuff, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely strong at all the road courses. Strong everywhere last year. I thought they put together a consistent run through 2022 that was really, 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 really strong. I think the thing that knocked them out of the playoffs, and I'll hit on it, but I think it was a steering issue. At Roval.
Roval, yeah.
Because I think he was going to make it through onto the next round. They did a great job. It'd be great to talk to him about what we've got coming up in COTA.
Right, what we've got coming up, and year number two of the larger branded successful Trackhouse Racing. But what a story that's been, that's for sure. But let's talk a little bit about Atlanta Motor Speedway. As I was watching that race unfold, and Todd, one of the things you and I've talked about here on the show, but we've also talked about behind the scenes, is good drivers and fast race cars at super speedways or super speedway-ish tracks matter. Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski battling it out for the win. Not a shocker with either one of those guys.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you look at it, really, we talk about, a lot of people talk about speedways being luck. And they're not. They're not luck. If you look, the same cars find their way to the front at the end of these super speedway races. And Atlanta's a little caveat because it's the most handling-centered speedway race, and you really don't have long straightaways where you can push each other. They still push, they still do what they can, but it's kind of a morph in between the two. But yeah, you look at it at the end, you've got Denny Hamlin up front, got Joey Logano up front, you've got Ryan Blaney up front, you got Brad Keselowski up front, you've got Corey LaJoie up front. That doesn't just happen by chance every speedway race. It's talent. It's talent and understanding what's going on. And really, if you go back and watch it, the end of this race, the moves that were made by many and where they all played out, it was a spectacle. It made up. Really, the day wasn't that exciting,
right,
until we got to that last stop. And they lined up top lane, bottom lane, pushed back and forth. The end of it was pretty exciting.
The video of Eric Jones going up the middle on that last lap was just insane. It was bonkers. I thought it wasn't as dramatic as Ross's video at Martinsville last year. But when you're watching that, it's like some kid playing a video game. It's like some good kid playing a video game versus a bunch of old duffers like me playing a video game, the way he was going up the middle. But just and that kind of racing provides those opportunities for guys to make some bold moves at the end.
Yeah, and Kyle Petty and I were talking about it early this week and back and forth about it. It's about reaction, right?
Yeah.
If you look at how Joey won the race, Joey didn't win the race by car being fast. It's by situations happening and him taking advantage of it. Whether it be Christopher Bell making the early move, whether it be, you know, Corey LaJoie's run coming to him, putting himself in a position where Brad couldn't block him.
Right.
And likewise with Eric Jones, he gained 9 spots on the last lap. He went from 17th to 8th. If you haven't seen it, dig your social media. There's a video clip of it there someplace, that last lap drive from the end car, just reacting to when people were making moves and putting them in bad positions and taking advantage of every hole he had. That's what makes these races interesting at the end, because somebody can take advantage of everything.
You have a history with Brad Keselowski, going back with Brad Keselowski. We are starting to see that sixth car at the front of the field a lot. It is not a matter of if he's going to win some races. It's a matter of when they're able to close the deal. You can't be as talented as Brad is, as good as those cars are and run at the front of the field, they're gonna monkey around and start winning some races, I think.
Oh, and not only Brad, but Chris Buescher. Chris
Buescher too, yeah.
I think if you look at it, I would say Penske's the best Ford team. I'd say RFK is the second best.
Yeah.
I mean, really, at this point, and that a year ago, you wouldn't even fathom that.
You think
and Brad's
about it,
really
right.
made it had an impact yeah. on the whole RFK program, and I think you're seeing it. The 6 and 17 were up front last week. They've been up. I mean, they've been week after week. They're top 10 cars. They find themselves battling that range, and that's a almost double digit move from where they were when Brad moved in there. So in a year, they've figured out how to be competitive. And Brad talked about it. You brought this up, but the finishes haven't been there for Brad, yeah. but the running position has.
Yeah.
They've had speed.
Yeah, he did a media availability on Saturday, and he was asked about the frustration of not getting the results. And Brad's point was, I would rather have fast race cars, results will come, than riding around at the back of the pack and getting a good restart at the end and squeezing into 12th or 10th and not feeling good about it. Yeah. He's very comfortable with the speed of their race cars.
I as a crew chief, I always said I'd rather have speed and not execution than have execution and not speed,
speed yeah.
because speed's very elusive and finding speed is a challenge and cleaning up execution or situations, even if you won't say it was an execution, just being caught in the wrong thing. That's just situational.
Yeah.
That's not like, it's not every race. It's just what happened this week. They've had speed. They can build forward. From that.
No doubt about it. And you mentioned Corey LaJoie. Now, again, there's a little assist. Yes. With 400 cars getting penalties, but Corey LaJoie is 14th in points, five races in, which you take the 400 cars, 18th in points, five races in, either one of those is very respectable for that team, and they have been solid all year long.
Yes. Yeah, I think he's done a really good job at getting out of the car what he can. And making, I think, top 20 finishes almost every race.
I think they lost that streak at Phoenix, but they had three. So yeah,
four of the five have been top 20 finishes. Again, one of those situations where that's a multiple position gain from where they were a year ago. And you know, we say, okay, it's only five races. It's darn near a fifth of the season.
Yeah,
a fifth of the regular season. Yeah. So, they're doing great things.
They're doing great things. I really respect. I heard Kyle Petty talking about this, and he said, yes, that team is doing good things, but Corey is doing great things. He is managing that race car really, really well. So tip of the cap to our buddy Corey LaJoie.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Great stuff, no doubt about it. And I know we've got great stuff coming up because when we come back, Travis Mack from over at Trackhouse Racing, he joins us.
Napa! Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide. Napa!
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post, and let's go to the Zoom line. Joining us from over at Trackhouse Racing, crew chief for Daniel Suarez on that number 99 car. Now, I thought the Tootsie's paint scheme was my favorite paint scheme, but now when I see the Quaker State paint scheme, I'm like, that's a good-looking race car. It runs well, and the crew chief is Travis Mack. Hello, Travis. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We are doing well. We're doing well. Good-looking race cars, good-performing race cars. Kind of assess five races into 2023 how things have gone for you guys on that 99 team.
Things have gone pretty well. You know, we haven't had the results that we liked to the last couple of races, but every single week, Daniel's been very happy with the race cars, and we've had really good speed. We just haven't had the results the last couple of weeks, but they're going to come.
Yeah, I mean, if we look back, just coming out of Atlanta here, how's the racetrack aged? And I mean, we made this into kind of a pseudo speedway car race. And from your standpoint, is the racetrack aging? Is it kind of, Atlanta's always been that way?
Yeah, absolutely. We were kidding around, you know, talking to Daniel about it, about how many years it's going to take to get back to old Atlanta. You know, I think every race we go back to, it's going to be a little bit closer to old Atlanta, especially the July race. If I have anything to say about it, I think we should probably get a little practice session in July when we go back to Atlanta. I think the July race is going to be really good. It's going to be hot and slick. Track's wearing out a little bit more. So as time goes, I think the track's just going to get better and better.
We had Rudy Fugel on last week, and he absolutely was all twisted up about pit road. No practice, no experience, which you guys all dealt with. You got the one half run down through there after the qualifying run. How did pit road work? What were the challenges? How did you guys approach it? Because we ended up having a green flag pit stop.
Yeah, you know, after Phoenix, we had two pit road speeding penalties. So we were a little nervous going into Atlanta. You know, we were probably a little bit on the safe side. But we adjusted to it after the first run down pit road, and it went pretty well. I mean, it went fine. You know, we didn't think we'd actually have a green flag pit stop. So that was a little exciting, to say the least. I think everybody was kind of blown away by actually having a green flag pit stop there. Kind of lost a little bit of time there, but we came to pit road clean, no incidents, and we went on to keep racing.
Yeah, we saw a couple of cars that didn't do that, and it was just about a 2-lap down penalty for doing the pass-through. Definitely wanted to keep yourselves ahead of. You talked earlier, Steve did earlier, about consistency. And if I look back at 2022 in Trackhouse Racing, and especially your team, the 99 team, Travis, I felt like you guys, week in and week out, you never had those. It didn't seem like you had those ups and downs. You figured out how to be fighting in the top 10, whether you got it at the end of the day, that's here and there, like you talked about earlier in the season. You've had speed, you've been competitive, and that's carried all the way through and continued this year. And really, I felt like you guys were really strong when we got to road courses. I looked at the first Coda race, and I thought you were the best car there. No, your teammate won there. You dominated the first 15 laps, and you got spun in traffic, but got to be excited about getting back to road course racing again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Daniel circled this one after last year's Coda race. He felt like we had that race won, and we kind of gave it away when we got spun out there, and then we had a steering issue. So we had a couple steering issues last year at road courses that hurt us a lot. But the last couple of years, Daniel's been awesome at road courses. We feel like those are our strongest races of the year. Those are our best opportunities to win races. Last year we won Sonoma, got that first win out of the way. But Coda, I feel like, is our best racetrack. So we've had this one circled since last year. We're going to go qualify on the front row. And I think with the new rules of getting rid of the stage cautions, it's probably going to help us even more. So I'm really excited to get back to Coda.
You talk about taking the stage cautions away. I was going to go someplace else, but since you brought it up, how do you think that affects how you call a race or how the race plays out?
I think it helps us. We've been really strong at road courses. And with the stage cautions, it just kind of mixes it up to where we have to choose to, do we want to win the race or do we want to go for stage points and stage wins? So last year at Coda, we kind of messed up. We dominated the first stage and we chose to stay out and get that stage win, which was really cool. And we thought we could drop back up through there, but, you know, restarting around 15th and we just got caught up in a spin and damaged the car a little bit and we couldn't come back from it. So now eliminating those stage cautions is going to, you know, I think we could go for the stage wins and we could go for the win of the race. So I'm excited about it.
You talked about that spin. I rewatched that race actually this morning twofold. Well, I knew you were on here today and I am going down to Coda this week, but you know, it looked like a pretty easy spin. Light contact got you spun, but you lost pace after that. Toe link was an aero piece or I'm just trying to understand and explain to the fan base something easy like that and you lose pace. Where does that go?
Yeah, we actually had a steering issue again. Like we had a couple of them last year. We had one at the Roval and then at Coda as well. So two steering issues with that rack. It's been an ongoing progress to try to get that thing fixed and understand it. You know, there's several teams have had issues with that thing. And we're looking at it closer this year. Maybe something in our setup is putting extra load through our steering rack that we didn't think about. So we're going back a little different this year, trying to be easier on that steering rack. And NASCAR's made some adjustments this year to take some pressure out of it. So I feel a lot better about it this year.
Travis, one of the other elements of this coming weekend is the fact that for the second time in a couple of weeks, you have a 50-minute practice session on Friday afternoon. What's the approach? Big picture stuff, little picture stuff, CODA stuff? How do you guys as Trackhouse approach that 50-minute practice session?
Yeah, well, I'm excited to have the practice, really. We feel like this is a really good track for Daniel. So just a little bit of practice just to confirm that he's happy with the car. Well, you know, we're already mapping out our couple questions and changes that we're going to make. We'll work really hard in the DL the last couple weeks, and we're constantly tweaking our road course stuff. So our package overall is really good. You can see that, you know, with the performance we had there last year and then all the road courses with the 1 and the 99. And then after that, all the Chevy camp, you know, really just jumping on board and running well road courses with Tyler Reddick. And so I'm excited to get back there, have a practice session, maybe change a couple springs just to see what Daniel reacts to. But more importantly, getting Daniel those laps to get going.
You you talked earlier about one of the changes in that we weren't going to see the cautions for the stage breaks. Another change coming this week, the choose rule when we do have caution. How do you see that affect in road course racing?
Yeah, the biggest concern we have about the choose rule is where they're going to choose. You know, our primary spotter is in turn one. What spot? Usually we have an inexperienced spotter. We have a third engineer going out there to spot, you know, so it's going to be new to him if he's back there with the choose role. Do we move our primary spotter over to where we choose, or do we leave him on the front stretch for the restarts? So that's our biggest concern right now, biggest decision we have need to make.
I hadn't thought about that. Just lead the race. That's what you do. Just lead the race. That makes it a whole lot easier. So
yes.
There we go. Travis, one of the other things you guys have, the Project 91 car, Kimi Raikkonen, who did a really nice job with you guys up at Watkins Glen. How does that factor into Trackhouse this weekend with a third car down there?
There's a lot of excitement in the shop. You know, the 91 car sitting out here with their 1 and 91 or the 99 side by side, and they look awesome. You know, we've got three cars capable of running in the top five to win the race, going to a racetrack, and everybody's really excited to get back to COTA. And it's so cool to have somebody like Kimi jumping in the car and having that great experience and just having a solid race. You know, he was running really well at Watkins Glen, and he was making his way forward and just got caught up in a wreck. So hopefully he can redeem himself this week and come out with a great finish.
And another piece of lower downforce coming out this weekend to road course racing. How do you see that impacting the guys and what we see in fall off and different things like that?
Yeah, the low downforce package, Daniel really liked it at Phoenix. Last year, our short track package was probably our worst races of the year with the 99. The one car obviously ran pretty well everywhere, but that was our goal for this year, to come to short tracks and run better this year. And we had a really good car at Phoenix. So I think Daniel's going to take a liking to the less downforce. I think it's going to make the cars harder to drive, which I think it's going to help the road course guys even more. And I think it's going to separate the field even more, hopefully. And Daniel's just going to love the car and drive away with it.
Travis, I think about the last couple of years and your journey with Trackhouse Racing. A few years ago, single car team. Last year, at this point in the season, you were a team, and Daniel talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you were a team with potential. You're kind of the team that arrived now. You're here. The expectation is to run up front. It's no longer a shocker when you guys do what you do. What is that like leading a bunch of men and women and being part of this program to see the last 3 or 4 years that you've had with this Trackhouse team?
Yeah, it's been an experience, you know, really only keeping Daniel and myself together through those 3 years. The first year we went up to RCR and we hired a team in January. You know, to go to Daytona in February. So last year we came over here to Ganassi Racing after purchasing, and we hired a team in December for last year. So this year we're able to keep 95% of the team together. So I think that's huge. You know, you look at teams like that 22 team, you know, last year at the championship after Phoenix, and you just look at that team and they've been together for a long time. Those guys have been around, and it makes a huge difference. And we have that feeling this year that we're an experienced team and we all know how each other works and we know what Daniel needs. And we're really clicking right now, having a good time while we're doing it.
No doubt. It is. I'd forgotten about the late hires there in December and January. That's it's even more impressive.
They skipped to November this year.
Yeah. Yeah, they knew in November if you're coming back or not. That's quite the project. Travis, I want to go off the track. I saw something on your social media. It was from actually last fall. But I saw you had apparently a new toy, an IROC Z Camaro, that you were questioning, should I just restore it to natural or should I make some additions to it? Where have you landed on that? What's the final result, or haven't you decided yet what you're going to do with that new toy?
Yes, it's not really a new toy. That's my baby. That's my first car when I turned 16.
Oh, wow.
I found it in my uncle's barn. It's all original. I've had it sitting in the garage for the last several years. I drive it every once in a while. I don't drive it as much as I like to, but it's come to the point to where I need to go through all the brakes and get it driving a little bit better. It's a little scary to drive sometimes and the brakes aren't working right. And so I just chose to put it up on jack stands. And one day I just started taking it apart and one thing led to another and I about got the whole thing apart. So figured while I had it apart, you know, let's go through the whole thing. I'm going to keep it mostly original, you know, upgrade some of the brakes. But I'm really going to leave it original. There's not many of those cars around anymore that, you know, you could really drive around and, show guys that, you know, this is the original car. This is what it looks like. And it's in really good shape. So I love that car. Hopefully I can get it back together here. I'm starting to get parts in for it, pieces, and just need some time. So,
it's one of those things crew chiefs don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
Time and a crew chief. Boy, they don't belong together, that's for sure. What I find fascinating about this and what I love about this, and we all have talked about this, this is old news. The crew chief job is no longer touching race cars. You know, the crew chief job. It's got to be a real treat for you to have a toy that you can put your hands on and touch with your hands and work on.
Yeah, exactly. I started digging into that thing and taking it apart, and I started realizing it took all the same wrenches that, you know, to take one of these cup cars apart, and that was really cool. Suspension and everything looks just like one of these cup cars. So I had it stripped apart in about 30 minutes just because I was so used to coming from the car chief side of things, and it was fun to get in there and get dirty and get to working on a car again. You know, these guys around here, if I'm touching the car, usually something's wrong.
No doubt. Travis, always a pleasure to chat with you. We can't wait to see what you have at COTA this weekend and on throughout the season. Thanks for joining us here on Crew Call.
Thanks, guys. We'll be looking forward to talking to you after we get a win.
There we go.
Sounds awesome.
Travis Mack joining us here on Crew Call. Stay with us, more in just a moment.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post. And boy, I'm telling you, it really struck me a couple weeks ago. We just got done talking with Travis Mack. It really struck me. And Daniel was the one at one of the sessions we had with him where he talked about a year ago, we were a team with potential. Now we're that team. And then how difficult it is to maintain being that team. Boy, it looks like all systems are in really good shape over there with Travis, with Phil Surgeon on the one car. They continue. We're no longer shocked. We're expected. When they have a bad day, I think we're a little bit more surprised.
Yeah. You look at it and top tens in the first three races. In Phoenix, they were in position, had a situation. last weekend they were decent and got caught up in that wreck around lap 200 or something like that. Travis has done a great job here. And really, you know, kudos to Travis and that whole program, because they, like he talked about this thing, you know, they came, like, Daniel hadn't figured out where he was going to drive in 2021.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like January, he's, okay, we're going to form this new team and go racing.
And go up to Welcome up on campus at RCR and grab some guys and go to Daytona.
And he just about won the dirt race.
That's right. Like, remember,
like,
that, yeah.
They were leading the dirt race. And I was like, wow, this team is just coming forward. And Travis is, and they've built this. And obviously, it's become bigger, right?
Right,
it's not just Travis and Daniel, but Phil Surgeon and everybody. But they have... He created the foundation that and launched this whole track.
And the thing of it is, it's been a moving target. We had Phil Surgeon on last year with us, and Phil had talked about the fact that he didn't even change offices from Ganassi. They moved Travis and Daniel in. So he goes from Welcome, North Carolina, over here to Concord to Ganassi, and like, man, this year not having moving vans packed up, that had to be really cool for him.
Yeah.
Really neat stuff, that's for sure.
I really like what these two are building together.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it. I really felt like they could go deeper in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
I felt like they were going to be final eight, and then they, who knows where it goes, but, I look for great things out of these guys. And this is a place where, I mean, Coda, like he talked about, Daniel's had it circled, right?
Oh, yeah. One that got away.
They were really good last year, and, to watch them come forward, it's going to be fun to see what happens this weekend. Low downforce, no cautions for stage breaks. It's a different creation, but you still got to turn left and right, and that philosophy that they've got, I think, is going to fall forward for them.
Well, you went to Daytona as a crew chief. You went to Auto Club in Phoenix as an analyst for MRN. Looks like you better put the crew chief hat back on. You're going down there with Jimmy. How are things looking as you get ready to go with the Legacy Motor Club?
Yeah, so far this year, I've failed as a retirement guy, right? this makes four of the first five.
Four of the first five,
I don't know, something like that. But it's been good. I guess four of the first six. It looks good. You don't know, it's not like we can go practice, we can do different things. We'll get in the simulator this week and play a little bit, but the cool part is that you got a seven-time champion that's driving a car. He'll bail you out of about anything. So got some good people, got some good direction, being part of that ECR alliance, the RCR alliance. I don't know. They won two of these races last year, right?
Yeah, they did pretty good.
That eight car did. So I think we got a decent spot to work from, and we will take advantage of that 50 minutes. That'll be key for us to kind of sort our way around that place. But really looking forward to it. I think Jimmy's pretty good road racer. He spent 2 years in IndyCar doing a lot of that.
A lot of that.
And he's part of that Garage 56 program going to Le Mans. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be fun.
I think you guys are going to have a good time, that's for sure. One of the things we referenced, and this is a little soapbox issue for me, okay? I actually watched, or didn't watch, I don't own a television, so I listened to PRN of the race at Atlanta. But I do watch social media, and I watch Twitter. And everyone's losing their minds about television commercials, okay? Here's your warning, folks, okay? We no longer have cautions after stage breaks.
Yeah.
So when you get on Twitter and say that they're missing more racing because of commercials, that's a byproduct of the thing. Now, I love the call. I love road course strategy races. And I think the stage breaks did mess a lot of that up over the course of time. Now, it gave you some other strategy options, but it did change that. But one of the things about the stage breaks is that it gave MRN, PRN, Fox and NBC a chance to throw a commercial in, do pit stops, and throw another commercial in. We no longer have that going forward.
We're going to have commercials during green flag racing.
Yeah.
That's just the end of it. I mean, if you look at it, really, this sport is funded by the TV program.
No doubt.
Absolutely. That's why the whole negotiation of where the new TV and rights contract is, that's why it's such a conversation between ownership and NASCAR, because that's where this gets paid for. And it's for our fan base to not want to have to pay for every race, which isn't, I don't think the right avenue. And I don't think NASCAR does either.
Yeah.
You have to have TV has to have commercial breaks.
Commercial breaks. So
finding a place to put them in, the side by sides that they're going to. I thought that was cool. I watched it this weekend.
Yeah.
I think it works. You know, they're trying to be creative with it,
yeah.
But to the point, Yes, we've taken two known cautions out of the programming this week.
Right, exactly, which has been four commercial breaks.
Yes.
Which has been four commercial
breaks.
Either
side of the pits, right?
Two on each side. One, yeah. We have four commercial breaks that will now be embedded in the race.
So it'll be...
There you go. There's your warning that now... I don't want to hear everyone on Twitter losing their minds. Well,
yeah,
I don't want to be on Twitter losing their minds. I think that's a lost cause.
Yeah. Don't turn to Twitter then.
No, don't turn. Here's what the game plan is. Don't turn on my Twitter. That's what I'm going to do. Just leave the radio call on and go from there.
So. Enjoy the show this weekend. It's a little different. I think, I don't think the strategies would be crazy different, but when the organic cautions happen, that may change up how everything gets raced.
That's true. That's a good point. That's for sure. Motor Racing Network, of course, this is Crew Call. We have NASCAR Live every Tuesday night. That's the Tuesday night tradition. NASCAR Live Wide Open. More with Mike Bagley. That drops on Thursday. That's the podcast version. NASCAR Coast to Coast covers the roots and all of the grassroots and short track action. Wing Nation, we talk sprint car racing on Wing Nation. And, of course, this NASCAR Crew Call. You can find all of our podcasts on MRN and find them where all podcasts are delivered. And like, share, spread the gospel. Tell people that you like what we're offering here on MRN. Motor Racing Network will be at Circuit of the Americas for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, the XPEL 200, Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time from COTA. And then our friends at PRN, they take over with the Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Cup Series from Circuit of the Americas. So going to be a fun weekend, that's for sure. So great stuff, no doubt about it. And great stuff as well with Travis Mack. We appreciate him joining us, but more important than all of that, thank you for joining us here this week on Crew Call.